You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
A lot going down in the women's tournament. The round of 64 starts today. South Carolina heads into the tournament as the favorite, while Stanford is looking to become the first team since UConn from 2013 to 2016 to win consecutive national championships. And of course, there's nobody better to break down the women's NCAA tournament than NCAA champion Rebecca Lobo. Rebecca, yes. Thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, we talked earlier this week, and just looking at the bracket and the Greensboro region specifically, it's hard not to look forward to Aaliyah Boston facing Caitlin Clark potentially. How excited are you for that potential matchup?
Yeah, I don't think Iowa State likes that conversation very much as the 3 seed in that region. But I think any women's basketball fan would love a chance to see Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark on the floor together. They've been two of the most exciting players to watch this season in terms of their production. Aaliyah Boston is the favorite for National Player of the Year. What she does defensively is so impactful on a team that leads the nation in block shots per game. And then you've got Caitlin Clark, who is the most exciting offensive player in the country. Sue Bird said that a season ago when Caitlin Clark was just a freshman. And when we haven't seen a player come down and hit bombs like she has consistently ever in the women's game. She is our Steph Curry, and it's the reason she's so exciting. So that potential matchup certainly has people excited if they're not one of the other teams in that Greensboro region.
Well, Rebecca, first of all, it's lovely seeing you. It's lovely having you on the show. I have not filled out my bracket yet, Rebecca, but I'm going to get to it, okay? I'm going to get to it. I got to ask you this question. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I want to make sure. She cannot hear me.
I hear somebody yelling at me, but I can't hear exactly what you're saying, Stephen A.
Okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to raise my voice, okay? UConn is a number two seed. I'm not accustomed to seeing UConn as a number two seed, okay? What's going on? I mean, there's not really cause for pause or anything to panic about, but how are you feeling about UConn's chances this year? She can't hear me.
Can you hear me, Rebecca?
UConn as a 2 seed. I mean, UConn deserves a 2 seed because of how they played this year. I don't think anybody questions the fact that they were a 2 and not a 1. However, the fact that they are playing the way they are in the last couple weeks of this season, the fact that they are in the Bridgeport region, which of course is just a short drive from the Storrs campus, it's got to be a tough pill to swallow for NC State as their number one in that region. Connecticut is certainly a team that can win the national championship this year. This is a team that is playing really good basketball. For most of the season, they had players in and out with injury. For much of the season, they only had 6 or 7 healthy players available to them. Paige Beckers wasn't one of them. For a lot of it, AZ Fudd wasn't one of those players who was available. Those are two pieces who are really important to the success of this Connecticut team. So now as we're going into the tournament and we're seeing Paige Beckers come back, as we see AZ Fudd healthy, as we've seen a rotation now that has 9 players who can come in and out, players who have all had an opportunity to start as the season's gone on because of those other injuries, this is a very, very dangerous team and a very dangerous team who doesn't have to get on an airplane before the Final Four.
We are just minutes away from tip-off. Stay tuned for our coverage on ESPN and ESPN2. Rebecca Lobo will be on the call. Thanks so much, Rebecca, for joining us.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, depending on how you look at yesterday's news about Steph Curry, it could be good or it could be bad. After getting his foot rolled on in the game versus Boston on Wednesday, an MRI showed no structural damage or serious injury. So that's the good part. The not so good part is that Curry is expected to miss the rest of the regular season with a foot sprain. The hope is that he'll be able to return by the start of the Western Conference playoffs. That, according to Woj and Ramona Shelburne. Perk is here with us now, and I want to talk about your glasses, because are those prescription?
No, they're not. It's called fashion, Christine.
It's just the swag. Fashion. I just made sure that's what you were bringing with us today.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, Perk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Steph, Clay, and Draymond have only played two games together this season, and now this is happening. So are the Warriors' titles hopes over?
Hell yeah, they over. And look, it's not because of the lack of playing time that Steph, Clay, and Draymond has had this season. Look, these guys have played together their entire career. They know how to find the chemistry. It's about the others. And when you saw Steve Kerr get mad the other night at Marcus Smart, yes, it was about protecting Steph Curry, but it was about him having 12 games left in the season and him trying to find his rotations, trying to find the continuity, trying to find the chemistry. Remember, Clay got back, and I said this, it was going to be guys that were going to have to play different roles. Now you have to find out where you're going to play Jordan Poole. How are you going to play Kuminga? How is Draymond and Kuminga going to play with one another? And if you're a head coach, when you get to this period of time where it matters the most going into the home stretch, the last part of the season, you want to have guys knowing their roles and knowing their place. And that's why I say that with Steph Curry being injured and not coming back to the playoffs, that yes, I strongly believe that the Warrior title hopes are done for this season, period.
I disagree with that. I disagree that it's done. I will concede that it's a bit tougher because the likelihood is that they're not going to be a two seed, which means in order for them to get out of the West, they're going to have not one but two series where they're the road team. They're not the home team in a potential game seven, whether it be against Memphis, whether it be against Phoenix. I totally get all of that. But when I think about the Golden State Warriors, I'm not going to summarily dismiss the experience. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Klay coming back compromised them to some degree because they didn't look as good as they looked at times when he was out, because you're trying to fit him back to the equation and get him going. And so he's had games where he's exploded, and then there were other games where he just seemed a bit distant and a bit out of it, like when we were at the Lakers game, when the NBA countdown team was at the Lakers game that Saturday night when LeBron dropped 56. So stuff like that, he only scored like 7 points that game or something along those lines. So I understand that, but that was without the services of Draymond Green. I think Draymond Green's is pivotal to their success. I think that he's a point forward and an orchestrator on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, he's definitely their captain. He talks on defense. He holds individuals accountable. And I think they'll be better exponentially defensively. Here's where it gets interesting for me, KP. Have you seen Jordan Poole lately? He's averaging 17 on the season. Last 8 games, he scored a minimum of 20 points, dropped about 32 against Denver, had 29 the other night against Boston. With Steph Curry being out, the style of play that Jordan Poole plays, how he pulls the trigger quick, and he doesn't need a lot of space in order to get off that shot or whatever. I think he's going to flourish. He's going to step in and play the role that Steph Curry usually plays. I think you're going to see offensive explosions from Jordan Poole in the days to come. Now, how that's going to work once Steph Curry gets back is why I hear what you're saying. All I'm saying is I can't rule it out, because what if they're comfortable playing with one another enough where when Steph comes back, the shot's going to still be there. Jordan Poole has elevated his level of play. Klay is going to be more of a focal point of the offense with Steph out as well. And Draymond is back healthy. I don't think you can look at the Warriors and say their title hopes are over. It might be, but it might not be. This could potentially work to their advantage is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but Stephen A., listen, I'm not knocking Jordan Poole, but I want you to realize, and you know this, in the playoffs comes adjustments, right? Just say hypothetically that Steph Curry is not back. No, Jordan Poole get a lot of his success based off the attention that Steph Curry's put on the defense. When it's playoff time, I need to see if he could still be that guy when it's an hour scouting report that's being put on him. No. See, it's a difference. See, when you're in that film room, that stack of papers get this thick
yeah,
on
yeah.
you.
But that stack of papers...
Yeah.
But we're making two separate points. Like, I'm not disagreeing with that. That's totally accurate. Okay. I totally get that. What I'm saying to you is, first of all, we're assuming Steph Curry's going to be back. We're making it because you're right. The title hopes are gone if Steph Curry can't play. We're not talking about the Warriors right. as champions if Steph Curry can't play. We're assuming he needs to be out for the rest of the regular season so he can be ready for the playoffs. So if Curry is ready for the playoffs because there's no sustainable injury to it, you know, this injury he incurred, then with this foot sprain, then we're talking about Steph Curry being fresh because he's got some rest on the rest of his legs, mind you. Okay, his legs are rested. We're talking about him being fresh because the concern we had about him is that he was losing some of the legs because of the load that he had to carry, particularly with Klay out the first part of the season, Draymond out the second part of the season. He comes back, Klay and Draymond is in the mix, and then you have Jordan Poole, who's elevated his level of play, but he's not the number one option. I think this could end up working wonders for the Golden State Warriors.
But Stephen A., to your point, you're right. You're hitting a lot of points, but let's just see when Steph comes back. Because let me remind you, right, he has a history of what? Ankle problems. And now he's dealing with this. So we just don't know. Again, we don't know. But I'm looking at it right now in the way teams are playing across the league. And I'm looking at the Western Conference, what the Mavericks are doing, what Memphis is doing, and what Denver is doing. And I just think that, and Draymond said it himself, health is everything. So I just want to leave it at that.
But all I'm saying is when we make our predictions and our prognostications, We shove injuries aside because that's a given. We know if they're not healthy, it's not a discussion. When I'm talking about if Steph comes back healthy, I'm not talking about what you're going to do without Steph. Because without Steph, we ain't talking about them as winning the title out west. But with Steph back, fresh legs, and the rest of the dudes ready to go, now we're talking a different story is all I'm saying.
Kirk, you got anything?
No, he's good. He's good.
All right.
He's good. He's good.
Kirk, don't
he's
go
looking
anywhere.
Good too, and he's feeling good. He's looking good and feeling
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
He's in 75 degree weather.
Bringing
don't feel sorry for him. He's in 75 degree weather, man. I feel sorry for him.
All right, Kirk, don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, over to the NFL. Baker Mayfield says it's time for a breakup. The former number one overall pick requested a trade from the only NFL team he's played for. But according to our own Jake Trotter, the Browns said no. There's been a lot of questions about Mayfield's future with the team for a very long time now. And all that seemed to be out of the window. But a few days ago, the Cleveland met with the Watson to try to convince him to come. That same day, Mayfield put out a lengthy statement thanking Browns fans. And then the Browns have been told that they are out of the running for Watson. But Mayfield told Adam Schefter that at this point, the relationship is too far gone to mend. Kimberly is back with us. Kimberly, this is crazy. I mean, we know how we feel.
So messy
you feel
for no
about
reason.
Baker Mayfield. Obviously, we love Baker, but
love
he's
it.
In his feelings a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So who would you blame in this situation? Are you blaming the Browns or are you going to blame Baker?
I just have one question. When it comes to who looks bad and not, do the Browns look bad for not honoring Baker's trade request? My only question is he under contract? Because he is. Okay, end of discussion. They don't have to do anything. In fact, the Green Bay Packers should actually have followed what the Browns did and said, no, Devontae, we're not trading you. That's it. No, you don't want to be here. We want you. You're stuck. Because that is the NFL business. And felt like people, I saw on social media, people were trying to liken the situation to, again, relationships, because I'm a former psych major. So people were trying to liken this to, oh, the Browns try to dip out, go see a next person. That person doesn't want him and come back, want him and make sure that things are good at home. You think the Browns are really worried about Baker's fit? Like, in all seriousness, the only thing I would tell Andrew Berry, the GM, is you should have just told Baker directly. Not because you had to, but because you know exactly who Baker is. We know who Baker is. He is sensitive. He can't, like, it's all about emotion with him, and he needs to feel special, right? So you should have just said to cut all this off at the pass. You told, I hear you, you told his representatives, his camp, they knew, hey, top-tier quarterbacks are available. We're gonna explore that. That doesn't mean we don't like Baker, but we don't love him, because if we loved him, we would have given him a contract extension last year, which they didn't. But again, this is not to act like the NFL is about, you know, unconditional love. The NFL is about open relationships. You are to until something better comes along. And that is what Baker has to understand, because that's why I don't fault players for going after what they want. You want money? Go get it. Because the minute your team feels like they can upgrade or find a cheaper option or a better option, they'll do that. But it's about leverage too. And Baker does not have leverage besides hurt feelings. And once he calms down and surveys the landscape, then I think cooler heads will prevail. Come on with it. Come on with it.
So you were a psychology major.
And an African-American studies double major. Yes, sir.
The African-American doubles major, I mean, I got that part. Mm-hmm. I want to get back to the first part.
Yes.
You were a psychology major. That explains a lot, Kimberly.
I'm different.
That explains
I'm
a lot.
I'm different, okay, sir. Yeah.
I feel you on that. I got that around. I'm going to let that go. Psychology major, y'all, for future reference. Psychology major. Explains a lot.
You guess.
Now, let me say this. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, Marcus Spears said it earlier, got to know your place.
Right.
At the end of the day, when you look at Baker Mayfield, come on, bro. You 26 years old. That means when you were trying to make decisions for the organization, you were about 23. Mm-hmm. 23, 24. Mm-hmm. Just got in the league, wet behind the ears.
Similac.
Breath smelling like Similac. You know, and here you are going to tell them that Freddie Kitchens needed to be the next head coach of the franchise. And where did that get you? And so as a result, what we're seeing is Baker Mayfield has had four complete seasons in the National Football League. He had an 11-5 season the season before last, where they went to the playoffs and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was his best year, obviously. Mm-hmm. The other three seasons, he never won more than 6 games each of those seasons. And he has a 29-30 record overall. Okay, so when we look at it from that perspective, that's not great. When you look at the Freddie Kitchens decision, that wasn't great. When you look at your willingness to be emotional and public with it, doesn't work great for you. And then when you got into the whole brouhaha with Odell Beckham Jr., when Odell Beckham Jr.'s daddy had to go rogue and just, you know, expose himself just to get himself, his son, the hell out of Cleveland, and it turned out to be a brilliant move because he ends up in L.A. and he captures the Super Bowl championship for the first time in his career, although he got hurt. I believe if Odell Beckham Jr. had stayed healthy, he might have been an MVP at that game because he was balling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were going to blow Cincinnati out of the building if Odell Beckham Jr. hadn't gotten hurt. So I look at it from this perspective and I say to myself, you couldn't make that work, Baker Mayfield? You got to remember, this is something that I've religiously said about Baker Mayfield, outside of the fact that he's got more positives of commercials than wins. This is the one thing that I've said. And I'm not throwing shade on Baker Mayfield because I like him. He's not a scrub. He can play. I happen to think he's a good guy. He's just opinionated and emotional, and that's not a crime. I don't think he's a bad guy at all. And I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a bit undersized. If he was taller, for example, I think he would have been more effective, but he's not, and that is what it is. What about Baker Mayfield is this. Religiously, I have stated that when you think about the Cleveland Browns offense, the problem is your quarterback can't be your weak link.
Exactly. The weak link wasn't the tight end. The weak link wasn't the offensive line. The weak link wasn't the, well, some people say that at times the weak link was the offensive line. The weak link certainly was not your wideouts. And it damn sure wasn't your running game with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. We went to you. Mm-hmm. And when you are a quarterback, to any quarterback in the National Football League, here's all you need to know. When a team, when anybody looks at a team's offense, and the quarterback is the weak link, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The quarterback can't be the weak link of the offense. Like, you might have, you might have situations. That's what Tennessee's going through now. Ryan Tannehill wet the bed. Through the first pass of the game was an interception. Well, guess what the problem is? Not only did you have Derrick Henry, you had the dudes backing him up when he was out. And still let them as a pretty damn good running game. You had A.J. Brown as your wide receiver. Julio Jones. Julio Jones came back. Mm-hmm. So when you look at Tennessee, what's the weak link? The weak link is Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. When you look at Cleveland, the weak link is Baker Mayfield.
Right.
That cannot be the case. Tennessee's not going anywhere. Cleveland's not going anywhere. Because the question that we have about those franchises are at the quarterback position.
Right.
That can't be the case.
Right. And that's the reason Cleveland didn't give him a long-term extension. Because heading into this year, week one against the Chiefs, I was there. Fourth quarter, 109 go. Baker throws a fourth quarter interception. They lose. The next week, Houston, he throws an interception, tries to make a tackle, injures himself, and then the rest of the season is, oh, I'm hurt, all this stuff. The Browns felt shaky about him before he even got hurt. And that, I think, is what Baker has to understand. He has not done enough on the field. This is a ready-made, potentially playoff roster. He just does his job. Just go back and win games, and that's it. That's it.
I think the thing that'll be interesting is seeing whether or not they're able to mend this relationship, and if Baker ends up being the quarterback in Cleveland next year.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It has been a season to forget for Russell Westbrook, to the point that people just are being extremely disrespectful about it. And Wednesday night's bad loss to the Timberwolves, Westbrook was getting trash talk and mocking from not only the fans, but also the Minnesota players, including a moment after a missed shot where Patrick Beverley and Karl Anthony Towns asked if the wind blew Westbrook's shot. So we have to have a conversation about this. Perk is going to be back with us. Stephen A. has some thoughts on this, but Perk, I'm going to start with you. Were the Timberwolves out of line for mocking Westbrook?
Well, Christine, Stephen A., you look up at me when I'm talking, okay?
Don't you
put your head down right now.
Will you stop wanting to be around? You're the protege.
Whatever. Here's the thing. I make my appearances on First Take on Mondays and Fridays, 10 a.m. Eastern to 12 p.m. Eastern, okay? Mm-hmm. So that means that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I get to sit back and watch you. And I get to listen to you. I get to listen to great takes that you have. I get to listen to good takes that you have. And then I get to listen to takes that make my damn skin crawl that you say. And one of them was yesterday. And I couldn't believe it. For the fact that you had the audacity to say that the Minnesota Act, the Timberwolves Act, as far as Patrick Beverley and Karl Anthony Towns, was a bit classless. Now, let me remind you, Stephen A., Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook has a history. You know that. Russell Westbrook said that Patrick Beverley tricked y'all. And he was referring to his defensive prowess and being a defensive player. What is Patrick Beverley known for? His defense. So at some point, when you have a guy that's an MVP caliber player that won the MVP, led multiple triple-double seasons and all that, you could possibly end somebody's career by your comments, right? So at the end of the day, Russell Westbrook knows that when you get between those lines and that when you're about to face Patrick Beverley every single time, that it's about to be a war. It's about to go down. And so the thing that I want you to back off of and I want you to face reality of, you be the main one that sit up here and tell me how soft the NBA then got. And we're talking about a little lip boxing. That's it, a little lip boxing. They're not swinging punches. They're not taking shots personal. They're talking about his game of basketball, which Russell Westbrook has handed out pretty a lot of lip boxing battles and have won a lot of championships. Right. He rocking the baby. He too small. So I just wanted to address you about that.
Well, first of all, it's a couple of things, and I'm not going to get on you about it. I'm going to be quite serious with what I'm about to say because I think it's a serious subject. For reasons that you and I both really, really know and we're about to get into now. First things first, I appreciate where you're coming from because you're a former teammate of Russell Westbrook. You got a lot of love for the brother. And all you're doing is telling him to man up and be accountable for his transgressions and some of the things he may have instigated. I respect that. But you talk about watching First Take. You're misquoting me. I said nothing about Patrick Beverley. I specifically said I had no problem with Patrick Beverley, A, because of their history with one another, and B, because Patrick Beverley is in the NBA because he's a professional pest. That's how he's in the NBA. That's what he does. And so I didn't hold him accountable at all. Who I looked at was Karl Anthony Towns, who is class personified, who is a star in this league, who's always held himself in very, you know, who's always conducted himself with class no matter what. And what I'm saying is, let's understand something. And I'll divulge, I ain't gonna say any names, but I'm gonna tell you what happened to me yesterday, KP. An NBA superstar who is a future Hall of Famer called me, and it was not a teammate of Russell Westbrook, called me because he was so alarmed at the tsunami of stuff coming in Russell Westbrook's direction. And what he said was, this was after the show, not before the show. What he said was, look, man, he's having an awful year. And Pim and Patrick Beverley, yeah, that is what it is. But how everybody comes at him like this. This is a brother that's going into the Hall of Fame. This is a brother that's averaged a triple-double four separate seasons, a former league MVP. Yeah, this year is bad. But damn, you talk about beating a horse when he's down. You know, it's every day. We won't let up. And nobody's remembering all the things he's meant to the game prior to this season. And so for me, what I was saying was, you Minnesota, you've had one playoff appearance in 17 years. Karl Anthony Towns, who we both love and respect. Great brother, great player. You've been there 7 years, you got one playoff appearance. And you sitting there and you mocking this brother at that particular moment of time. I had people within the Wolves organization text me to thank me for getting on those players because they were like, damn, we ain't done anything yet. And look at how we acting right now. Let's be better than that. It's not that they were wrong. It's that, again, you kicking it while it's down. And Russell Westbrook has done that. He's embarrassed quite a few people. So there's no doubt about that. No, but for the Minnesota Timberwolves to be like that, when you've been what you've been as a franchise for since KG left, it was like, damn, y'all, really? That's all I was saying. It was specifically about Cat, not Patrick Beverley.
No. No, I get that, but we have to realize who is the leader of that team. The leader of that team is not the franchise guy. The leader of that team is Patrick Beverley. That's why they signed him to an extension of $13 million because of the leadership and the tenacity. What have we questioned about Karl Anthony Towns? That's not true. His talent. We questioned his tenacity. And so he's following his leadership, Stephen A. And I get it, right? Listen, I get it. You know how I feel about Russell Westbrook. At the end of the day, if it was a different player sitting up here, I would be saying the same thing. My thing is, and I repeat, if you're going to be a guy that dishes it out, you got to be able to take it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the whole thing about it. So I understand we're pounding on Russell Westbrook right now. I understand a lot of the media getting on him. Everybody's getting on him. I get all that, Stephen A. But again, he signed up to go to the Lakers.
I agree.
To win the championship.
We know
that.
And
they're underachieving, bro.
We'll talk about it later. And I totally get where you're coming from. I'm just saying there does come a point where it is a bit excessive. And coming from a team with one playoff appearance in 17 years, it's like, whoa, come on, y'all. Chill with it a little bit. It was because I ain't see Westbrook do all of that to people, what they did to him the other night. I ain't see that from Westbrook. But we'll talk about it later.
All right, Perk, you're leaving us. Yeah. Like they say, if you can't stand the plate, stay out of the kitchen. But we do need to calm down a little bit on Russell Westbrook. See you later, Perk. You and your glasses looking good, as always. More First Take to come, coming up next.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
You guys have a pretty good time on this show.
We do. We do. We have a blast. I mean, you know, today was a little bit different because, you know, Kimberly came on here and tried to muscle me and stuff like that. Let the world know that she's a psych major. She was a psych major, which explains a lot because she has all the answers.
Right, exactly.
I mean, all of us must bow to her altar.
Exactly, exactly.
But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. I mean, it's okay. I can take it.
All right, let's end things here. Deshaun Watson, where should he go? We have the Saints, and now we have the Falcons.
New Orleans, because I think with that defense and with him there, they got a chance to win the chip. They got a chance to win it all. I don't think that's the case in Atlanta. Atlanta would just be for nostalgic purposes. New Orleans is the legitimate chance
to win the chip. Yeah, he wants to go home.
Yes. You did a good job.
Thanks. It was fun.
You did a good job.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys.